Numbers chapter 8, verses 5 through 26, these are God's words. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them ceremonially. Thus you shall do to them to cleanse them. Sprinkle water of purification on them, and let them shave all their body, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. Then let them take a young bull with its grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil. And you shall take another young bull as a sin offering. And you shall bring the Levites before the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall gather together the whole congregation of the children of Israel. So you shall bring the Levites before Yahweh, and the children of Israel shall lay their hands on the Levites. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before Yahweh like a wave offering from the children of Israel, that they may perform the work of Yahweh. Then the Levites shall lay their hands on the heads of the young bulls, and you shall offer one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering to Yahweh to make atonement for the Levites. And you shall stand the Levites before Aaron and his sons, and then offer them like a wave offering to Yahweh. Thus you shall separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. After that, the Levites shall go in to service the tabernacle of meeting. So you shall cleanse them and offer them like a wave offering. For they are wholly given to me from among the children of Israel. I have taken them for myself instead of all who open the womb, the firstborn of all the children of Israel. For all the firstborn among the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them to myself. I have taken the Levites instead of all the firstborn of the children of Israel. And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and his sons from among the children of Israel to do the work for the children of Israel in the tabernacle of meeting and to make atonement for the children of Israel that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come near the sanctuary." Thus Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel did to the Levites, according to all that Yahweh commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so the children of Israel did to them. And the Levites purified themselves and washed their clothes. Then Aaron presented them like a wave offering before Yahweh, and Aaron made atonement for them to cleanse them. After that, the Levites went in to do their work in the tabernacle of meeting before Aaron and his sons, as Yahweh commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so they did to them. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "This is what pertains to the Levites. From 25 years old and above, one may enter to perform service in the work of the tabernacle of meeting. And at the age of 50 years, they must cease performing this work and shall work no more. They may minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of meeting to attend to needs, but they themselves shall do no work. Thus you shall do to the Levites regarding their duties." Amen. Thus ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. It really is amazing how much of the book of Numbers continues what we learned from the book of Leviticus. If your pastor happened to have recently preached through the book of Leviticus, or is still preaching through the book of Leviticus, then you know that where it says burnt offering, it's actually the word ascension that God gave his people sacrifices that they would identify themselves with, in whom they would ascend to the Lord, draw near to the Lord. And that since his people are still sinful, even as we are today, he gave them also sin offerings, by the offering of which their consciences could be cleansed, and they would know that God had forgiven them, so that they could come cleanly into his presence in the burnt offering or in the ascension offering. And so there are some things in our passage that are fresh on our minds and on our hearts, but by the time we get to Numbers 8, the people of Israel are ready to leave Sinai. And there are some final preparations. The various censuses that we have had arranged the people of Israel around the tabernacle and gave them literally their marching orders so they would know what sequence they were to go out in. And when they moved with the tabernacle, and then there were censuses of the Levites, because first of all, they needed to know how the number of the Levites matched up with the number of the firstborn of the children of Israel, so that that small fragment that was left over, they could pay a redemption price. But also, the Levites themselves needed to be numbered, the working Levites, as opposed to the military Levites, because they had one of the most important military jobs, not to protect the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, from the Canaanites that they were going to go and battle, but to protect the children of Israel from the consequences of coming to God in the wrong way, in which he would destroy them if they came in the wrong way. You remember in Leviticus chapter 10, on the first full day of the priesthood of the sons of Aaron, these sons of Aaron, except for there are twice as many of them on the morning of that day. Because when it says Aaron and his sons here, it means two. But when it was Aaron and his sons in Leviticus 10, there were four. And how did it come to be that half of the sons of the high priest had been killed? Well, they had offered God that which God had not commanded in the worship. And so God immediately gave them instruction for how to respond in order to preserve the other two. Why? Because he told them in Leviticus 10, verse 10, that they, the sons of Aaron, needed to teach Israel and to lead Israel in distinguishing between the clean and the unclean, and the holy and the common, or the unholy. And this is a huge job for them. And we have something similar here. In the last couple of chapters, as they're getting ready to leave, you remember one of the things that we had was one of the longest chapters in the whole Bible, with the 12 days and the 12 leaders of the 12 tribes, each bringing the same sort of offering, and God using six verses for each tribe's leader bringing their offering to drive home their participation in the worship of God, that God being in their midst was the great thing about the children of Israel, and that every single Israelite had a participation in God being in their midst. But again, now as they are leaving, we would have come straight into this chapter, but you remember in last week's portion, at the end of chapter 7, the very last verse, verse 89, and the first four verses of this chapter in Numbers 8, he taught us again about the lampstand and the shining of God's favor, and how this is at the heart of the life and literally the geography of Israel. Not just that the tabernacle, but that God from the Holy Holies, from above the cherubim, would speak to Moses, and that the light from the lampstand would shine from the same direction, and that it would fall upon the table. And it would fall upon the table where there were the 12 loaves of bread representing each of the tribes. And the 12 loaves would have been made from the grain that was brought in all of those 12 offerings that we heard about in chapter 7. But now that thought as a whole is being completed, because it will do them no good if they survive the Canaanites, but come near the Lord in the wrong way. And so God, in these 22 verses before us this afternoon, is giving Aaron and his sons a gift. And it's a gift that belongs specially to him. It's a gift that belongs to him so much that the way he showed that they were his was by killing the Egyptian firstborn. And so he's giving the Aaron and his sons, not the firstborn of the children of Israel who are his, but the Levites who he's taking in the place, receiving in the place of the firstborn of the children of Israel, which is amazing because he has said to them by the Passover, and he said to them by death, and he said to them by these censuses, these Levites are mine. And he says and does that to a great extent again in this chapter. But in this chapter, he then takes these who are so very specially his, and he stands them in front of Aaron and his sons. And he says in verse 19, I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and his sons from among the children of Israel to do the work for the children of Israel in the tabernacle of meeting. So they were represented in chapter 7 by the offering that was offered in their behalf. And now these Levites are being given to Aaron and his sons to work on behalf of all the children of Israel, to serve on behalf of all the children of Israel in the tabernacle of meeting, and to make atonement for the children of Israel. They are a substitute for the children of Israel. And the goal here, the reason, the outcome, that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come near the sanctuary. And so as they get ready to depart, they're reminded that worship is their great duty. It's the reason God created us and the reason God redeemed us, the reason God has now gathered for himself a church in the wilderness. As Stephen prophesies about this great assembly that is at Sinai, it is our greatest duty is the worship of God. But there's also a sense in which our greatest danger is also in drawing near to God. Because you remember from back in Leviticus 10, what he said when he had executed Nadab and Abihu, by those who draw near to me, I must be regarded as holy. And here he says that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel draw near to the holiness. Quite literally, that's what it says in verse 19, when they draw near to the holiness. And praise God, we see an analogy, don't we? We see a pattern that is similar between Numbers chapter 8 and Acts chapter 6. Because in Acts chapter 6, you have the increasing need to attend to material things among the people of God. But you also have the apostles who are leading Christ's church in Christ's means of grace, out of which he has made his worship, prayer, and the ministry of the word, and the breaking of the bread, although they don't mention that specifically there in the context in Acts 6. And what do we have then in Acts chapter 6? Well, by the Holy Spirit, they say, set apart for us seven men who are full of the Holy Spirit, and they're selected by the congregation, and the congregation brings them, and they lay hands on them. And that was the ordination of the diaconate, so that the diaconate could attend to the more physical, earthly, material, necessary things, even for the worship of God in the New Testament church. Well, that's what God is doing for Aaron and his sons here. He is giving them, the Levites, in the place of the firstborn of the children of Israel, to do all of that work. And there was a lot more work for the Levites than there is for the diaconate, especially since the diaconate oversees an entire people who are all priests, because in Christ's great high priesthood, we are all his spiritual offspring, as we even heard in Isaiah 53 today, and we are all priests. And so the deacons don't do all of the material labor, because all of us are called to that service, the material labor in Christ's church now. But boy, was there a lot of material, earthly, physical labor to do in the tabernacle. And so that Aaron and his sons could especially give their attention to administrating, officiating the sacrifices, the drawing near itself. Here they are given all of the Levites in the place of the firstborn of the children of Israel. And the Lord shows us the greatness of this gift and several things about it. And very briefly, we'll then hear about preparation, presentation, purpose, and then just to stick with peas, and hopefully by the time we're done with it, you'll understand why prime. Preparation, presentation, purpose, and prime. Well, preparation, they had to be cleansed. And here, it's not just a ceremonial washing. You notice ceremonial washing of themselves and of their clothes. You even have the shaving of their bodies, just in case there's anything unclean that's caught in the hair that is on them. They are prepared for this ceremony. They are prepared to be given to God, stood before Yahweh first. Aaron stands them before Yahweh, and we have three times this language of there being a wave offering, verse 11, verse 13, verse 15. And so they're presented before the Lord as a wave offering, but they need to be cleansed before they will be presented to the Lord for their work. This too is something that gives us a little picture of our Lord Jesus, who himself at the age of 30, which for the Levites, remember back to chapter 4, 30 was the age that they needed to be in order to participate in set up and take down and the transportation. But for the regular daily service in support of Aaron and his sons, who led the ordinary daily worship and the sacrifices, they could enter in at 25. Well, our Lord Jesus, at the age of 30, didn't he come out to where his cousin John was baptizing? And it was a baptism that said, you need to be cleaned before God. And Jesus wanted to be baptized. And what did his cousin say? No, I need to be baptized by you. And if you remember from your Bible reading, or if you remember from the preaching in Matthew, Jesus said, thus it is necessary for us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus identifying himself even as a substitute for John and entering in upon his earthly ministry, John's righteousness would be fulfilled by Jesus' doing what was right as his representative. And so he enters into the fullness of his priestly work at the age of 30, and he's identified with his people in his receiving the baptism that they deserved, but is also foreshadowed and pictured to us in this washing. And so there is the cleansing and there's the atonement, the substitution. Here they would feel this atonement in two different ways. One, in the way that we've heard about a bunch of different times as they rested, that leaning, not just kind of a gently laying your hand and we don't want to be The word is a pressure word, a resting, a leaning word. And as they did that on each of these bulls, they would be identified with the bulls. But they would also remember other people leaning upon them, resting upon them. It's the same word for the laying on of hands here when the nation of Israel lays their hands upon them. Now, this is a very big assembly. Because he specifies all of the Levites and he specifies all of the children of Israel. And so the way that it's described to us here as working is that the Levites would be spread around and every household, and there would have to be a little overlap. You remember there were some households that weren't quite accounted for in this way, but it's almost an exact one-to-one ratio. Every household would get themselves a Levite. And rather than the household be represented in the firstborn of that household, the household would be represented in the Levite that was for their household. And so you can imagine how that would be seared into the memory of those Levites as they did their tabernacle service day by day. They would remember, not just leaning upon the bull that was to take away their sin, not just leaning upon the bull in whom they were to ascend, but they would remember when the nation of Israel, each one of them had a household from the nation of Israel come and lean upon them. And they would know that they are serving in God's tabernacle for God's people, on their behalf. And that continues today. We already mentioned how in Acts 6 you had the laying on of hands for the ordination of the deacons. And Paul talks to Timothy about the laying on of hands of the presbytery of the elders and the laying on of his own hands that designated Timothy as gifted with the ministry, not meaning that he was talented at ministry, but that he was given as a gift by the Lord Jesus to the church for the purpose of ministry. Like we heard this morning, you don't have the option of whether or not you use your gift. And that's the way the Lord Jesus talks about elders also in Psalm 68 and verse 18 and in Ephesians chapter 4, which quotes Psalm 68 and verse 18, that when Jesus ascends on high, he gives, or in 68, receives gifts among men. Psalm 68, verse 18, verse 17, we'll begin. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them as in Sinai, in the holy place. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that Yahweh God might dwell there. And so, whether we're hearing this in Psalm 68, or whether we're hearing it in Ephesians chapter 4, or whether we're hearing it here in number 7, where Aaron and his sons anticipate Jesus's great high priesthood. We no longer have a high priest from Aaron's family, because Jesus is our final and forever great high priest. And he has received us gifts from among men, even from the rebellious, even from among those for whom he had to atone for our sin, even from among those who the only way we could ascend and come near to God is through Jesus Christ, his righteousness, his sacrifice, his person. And from among those, he has received gifts for his ministry. And so you have a picture of that in Ephesians 4, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, by whom he wrote the New Testament, and the pastor teachers by whom he conducts that ministry of prayer and the word and other gifts among men, the deacons whom he has given to the elders as a help in managing so much of the earthly work, so that the ministers, the elders of his people, can focus on the leading of the worship and the means of grace. And so Numbers 8 is very, very practical for us, isn't it? That there is this preparation, those who are going to be priests unto God, and that's all of us now, not just the officers in the New Testament. We must be cleansed and substituted for. The office of believer is one that you can only enter into. The office of church member in the Christian church is one for which you need to be cleansed by Jesus Christ, not just by the water of baptism, but by Jesus himself, who preaches himself to you in the water of baptism. And so every one of you, being baptized members of his church, you do not get saved by the application of the water. But the water tells you, if you are going to be what he has called you to be in his church, if you're going to be a participant in the worship of the church and a participant in the life of the church, and if he's going to use you under the elders to speak the truth in love to your brothers and sisters and be useful in one another's spiritual growth, or if he's going to use you to serve one another in earthly things under the deacons who oversee our service of one another in earthly things, you need to be cleansed by Jesus. You need to be washed by his blood. You need to lay your hand upon his head, rest yourself upon him, and have him as your substitute. Preparation, presentation, we already hit mostly. Being presented to the Lord himself as a wave offering. Wouldn't it be interesting if you were a Levite and you knew about these offerings, but then suddenly you're the offering? Well, it would almost be like they were to think of themselves as living sacrifices. Now, even if you haven't been hearing the midweek sermons in Romans, you probably are familiar with the term living sacrifice. And so we are presented to God as belonging to him. By his mercy, he has taken us to be living sacrifices for himself. But then God presents us to one another. He presents us to Christ as those under his priesthood, just as first the Levites are presented to the Lord as this wave offering three times, verse 11, verse 13, verse 15. But then they are presented by Aaron, or by God to Aaron, verse 18 and 19. God has taken them, verse 18, and then now he's given them to Aaron, verse 19. And so their purpose, we've already heard much about, that they would be substitutes for the people of Israel, the children of Israel, that they would do the work that is necessary for worship. In fact, the word that's translated work in the second part of verse 19, do the work for the children of Israel, and in verse 22, their work in the tabernacle of meeting, and in verse 24, service in the work of the tabernacle of meeting, and then again in verse 26, when it's talking about what they can't do when they age out, they shall do no work. It's actually the word for worship. It's actually the word that's used in Genesis 3, where man is put in the garden to worship and obey. And there's a Hebrew suffix on the end of those two words that many translations take as a direct object, but it is giving a general infinitive command, and it's just the vanilla word for worship and the vanilla word for obey, but it gets attended to the garden, and you get this kind of ultra-agrarianism where people think that we exist to tend and keep gardens. Well, praise God, he's filled the world with earth and productive earth, and we serve him in those things. But man was put in the garden to worship and obey. And man is given in the tabernacle to keep, which, by the way, the words to attend to needs there in verse 26 is a doubling of the verb for keep, the doubling of the verb for obey. And so they're there for whatever they can do in order to support the obedience, is what verse 26 is saying. But they aren't to conduct any of the actual worship once they turn 50, is what verse 26 is saying. But so we hear that when we hear about the purpose of the setting apart of these Levites. Substitution, whatever work is necessary in order for the worship, and therefore prevention of plague, lest the worship be done in any way that God has not commanded, as had happened before. And therefore, these Levites were especially to serve in the prime of their life. And that's where we get that word prime in our outline. If you knew the greatness of this service, it might be a long wait until you're 25, especially in a culture in which boys were not kept infantile perpetually like they are in our culture. You know, by the time they're 12, 13, 14, they are ready and willing to go. And you know, they know their calling. They're not like we are. You know, every child is given a personal sovereignty to find his calling in life. No, if you're a Levite, you know what you're going to do. And you know, 12, 13, 15, 17, 19, 23, they still can't do it yet. And so God teaches them patience and training. Because if they're not to start on the work yet, what should they be doing? They know their calling and they feel the responsibility before God and this drive that hopefully is not only natural and preserved for us in common grace, but is supported by special grace and faith in Jesus Christ. Well, they would be studying and they would be training. They would be making sure that they were as mentally and physically and spiritually ready. Now, they wouldn't necessarily do this, every one of them, but that's what they should have been doing, isn't it? And so there's a patience here. But then when they get to that 25 and they can enter in on the ordinary service, and then until they're 50, they would serve and they would burn hot, because their days of the most useful labor to God are numbered. And they would give God the prime of their life. Well, you may not be Levites, but you've already heard, haven't you, that every one of you who are believers are a priesthood unto God. He has made us kings and priests unto our God. We will praise him for doing that forever. Give God the prime of your life in everything that you do. Give him your all, especially in his worship. Well, if the 25 start age teaches us patience, the 50 finish age teaches us humility. Surely many of them, when they're coming to the age of 50, feel like they still got it. They're not ready to age out. But there's a strong prohibition at the end. They may do support roles, but they can't participate in the physical labor of the worship anymore. And that teaches us to, first of all, have a humility that acknowledges our diminishing faculties, whether they be mental or physical or otherwise, but that we also rejoice in and look forward to God's raising up the next generation, that there would be Levites who are turning 50, and rather than attempt to stay where God had said they were not permitted anymore, he still says, doesn't he, they may minister with their brethren to attend to needs, to obey. Their brethren, especially these 25-year-olds, it may be helpful to them to have a 50-year-old who's coming off of the shift of his life to be there for counsel and support and as an example and so forth, making sure that he can obey. But the 50-year-old no longer does the work. And there's a pattern here for how in the humility of the generations of the church, those who are older should be looking forward to the younger men being raised up by God and taking their place now in the work. And so we are taught not only with respect to age, but with respect to all things. By the grace given me, you remember a few weeks ago in Romans, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but let each of you think with sober judgment, according to the measure of faith that God has given you. So Christ was prepared and presented for his great high priesthood, in whom we have come to God and been atoned for by God, but Christ has also received us as gifts and given us as gifts. We are all the members of his church are priests in him. This is why we don't say priest about an elder or a deacon. We have one great high priest, and in him all of us have a priesthood. He's still, isn't he, giving gifts from among men, whether to oversee us in the worship or to oversee us in the ministry of material things, or even giving each of us as gifts to one another, as holy to God. May the Lord help us so to serve one another that we would worship in the way that is safe, the one that comes through Jesus, and that we would give him the prime of our life and the whole of our life in his church. Amen. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word, for places like this one, where some of the disconnectedness from our own experience has hidden from us wonderful treasures, not only of your truth and your interacting with your people then, but even with the realities of what is happening in your church now. Even, Lord, as we've heard a parallel with the diaconate, we ask that you would help our men who are going to end up being deacons, that you would be continuing to prepare them, that all that you have done in their lives you would bring to bear for the leadership of an entire congregation serving you, both in spiritual things and also under them in material things. We pray that you would be glorified in your church, that Christ would be glorified in this congregation of his church. Under that end, we pray for the ministry of your Spirit to continue to press upon our hearts and write upon our hearts the truths that we have seen here written in your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.